Thank you. God bless you. Barney's going to turn me on, so make sure you can hear. All right. God bless you all. I'm on a mission today. God wants me to share one simple point with you. And I could probably do it in about 2 or 3 minutes. But I'm going to hopefully not bore you with some illustrations. And, to prove a point, you do different things. Now, attorney proving a point in a case where a gun was used would bring up as a expert witness who? A gunsmith, somebody that has been in the field for years and years, an expert, right? Do you remember when you took biology in high school? And you'd be in the classroom, and they would teach a principle, and then where would you go to see the proof of that, the physical proof of that principle? You would go to the laboratory, right? And you'd do stuff to show and illustrate that, right? Or another way to make a point and make sure it's solidified, you'd bring in expert materials that have been written about that and show that this has been proved over and over and over again. Okay? So I'm going to attempt to do all three on this one. Okay? So, this is what I believe God wants me to share with you. The point is to use that gift of Holy Spirit that you've been born with as a Christian, to let it flow out. Use that gift of Holy Spirit. Manifest it to all its capacities. Now, a lot of Christians, I hate to say this, a lot of Christians get born again of God's Spirit, and as far as the Spirit's concerned, they don't do anything with it. They might go to church and hear some nice things, but what are they doing with that gift of Holy Spirit, that dynamo of power? Wow! We learned yesterday of the great resources we have in that gift of Holy Spirit. The different manifestations, namely speaking in tongues. What a power that is, isn't it? To be able to talk directly to God. Phenomenal. So I believe this is a life-changing message I'm going to share with you. Now, it might be dramatic for some of you, and might just be a little bit for some of you. That's okay. Long as you leave here seeing this principle a little bit bigger than when you walked in. Okay? Well, what was the first thing? Three things here I'm going to do to prove this, to demonstrate this. What was the first one? Expert witness. Thank you. Let's see. We've got a Christian principle here. Who could I bring in to prove this principle? To prove a point about using and manifesting, speaking in tongues. Well, who? Who?
You.
Who would you bring in to prove a Christian point? And I'll let you go back a couple thousand years if you'd like. Who?
Apostle Paul.
I would agree with that. Peter would be great. But Paul would be pretty nice. So I'd like to introduce to you the Apostle Paul. And he said, now he's not here, you know that, don't you? Don't go looking over here. He said, use your imagination, all right? He said in 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would that you all speak in tongues. He spoke in the old English for some reason. So he said, I would you all speak in tongues. This is that every Christian? Probably so. He later on said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. So did he do what he confessed others should do?
Yes.
He did it more than all of them together. He's the expert, right? The Apostle Paul spoke in tongues a lot. Maybe it'd be good for me to, huh? Let that gift flow out. Later on, he says in 1 Corinthians 14:39, forbid not to speak in tongues. And it's a sad story today. There are many ministers out there that are doing that. They don't want no tongues speaking in my church. It's really sad. So, all right, so we have the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Now that should be good enough. I mean, we could get out of here and leave and have a little more time to go to a Sunday meeting and have our chicken and giblets and stuff for lunch, right? But I want to make this point really live for you. So thank you, Apostle Paul. He appreciates that, I'm sure. I was going to say that he's up in heaven thanking you, but not really. Okay. So, what was the next one?
Go to the lab.
Go to the lab. We got to go to the lab, right? All right. I have a lovely lab assistant that I'd like to. Excuse me here for a second. I need to set this up a little bit. Very carefully. So everybody can see. I'm thinking I might need a little bit more. Just in case. Now, when you're born again, you are filled to the brim. Alright? So he fills you with what?
Holy Spirit.
He fills you full of Holy Spirit. There is not an iota of space in your body that there's not a spirit there. Right? Now, you've got this spirit in here. It's all over the place in you, as my lovely assistant is demonstrating. But what is the point here today? What am I trying to sell to you? Have it flow. Use the Spirit. Have it just flow out of you. Don't just sit there and be a closed Christian. Be an open Christian and let it flow. Just let it overflow.
Amen.
Just like that.
Amen.
Woo. Amen. Woo. Just overflowing. All right, do you get the point?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Good job. Overflowing. Now, let's go. What's our third point? What's our third reference point? Documentation. Let's go. You got some Bibles? All right. I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. There's an interesting Greek word that's used in the Bible here where we have our English translated from. And it's the word pletho. And there's several words for being filled. And there's pleroo, a couple other ones. Pletho is another one. The word "pletho" has a connotation of not only being filled, but filled to overflowing. Okay? It has that connotation. You're filled, but there's more to it than just the capacity in itself. And I want to show you some verses to see this illustrated in God's Word. Okay? So, Luke chapter 1, verse 57, correct? Now Elizabeth's full time, her full time came that she should be delivered. Now, did she have some disease or sickness that she needed deliverance from? No. She was pregnant. And this full time is this word "pletho." So what happens when a woman delivers, men? You don't know, so that's okay. I understand.
She screams.
She goes into labor and she...
Has a baby.
Yeah, has a baby, all right? It just doesn't stay in there, and a little hand reaches out. The whole thing comes. And you have the breaking of the water comes out. So this is, I think, understanding this little Greek word, you can see this picture maybe a little bit more. Go to Acts. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. And here, verse 44. 1344. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear what? Wow, right? Pretty good thing. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. The word "filled with envy" is that word. Now, I mean, sometimes you get the picture they're filled. They've got all this envy and stuff. But do you see what's happening here? They're teaching God's word. The Jews are upset. They are so mad. They are filled to overflowing. And what do they do? They spoke it out. They said, "These guys are a bunch of liars. Don't listen to those guys. They're nuts." Now, they could have sat there and they could have been mad and all this envy. But they let it flow, didn't they? Boy, they just let it flow. They didn't care. They believed in what they believed, right? And they acted on it. They acted on what they believed. Do you believe you've got Holy Spirit in you? Are we going to act on that and use that spirit? Good idea. I think you're getting the point. But if there's somebody else that, just out there that has not got it yet, we're going to continue on. All right? Acts. Oh, there's one I just threw in last night. Chapter 5. This is an extra one here. Yeah. Then the high priest, 5:17 in Acts, the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with
indignation.
Okay, so they had indignation. They were filled, overflowing with indignation. So, do you think they're going to sit on their hands with this indignation? So they're all upset, but they're not going to do a dad burn thing about it. They're just going to sit on their hands, right? What did they do with their hands?
They put them on the apostles.
Because they were full of? You say it better than I do. They grabbed them. They acted on their feelings. And they laid hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. we got to read on. I don't want to leave that. I could go on, but we got to. Next verse. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and go sit on your hands. Don't say anything, whatever you do. Just stand there. Don't say nothing. No. Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. Wow. Wow. What do you think God wants us to do?
Speak the word.
He wants us to use what he's given us. Yes. One more. 19. Acts 19. Acts 19, 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full. There it is, that word again, full of wrath. Now, I don't know if that's the word there, pletho, but it's in verse 29. They were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. You know, Paul's teaching the word. He's talking about Christ. And, of course, everybody in that city, their business was making these idols about who? Diana. And, uh-oh, we're going to lose some business here. They get all upset, uptight. And so they started acting on their wrath. And the whole city was filled with confusion. So what did they do? They acted on it, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. They just didn't walk. They rushed. They acted on their feelings, what they believed was right. And we won't read the rest of it. Great story, though. Great story. But let's look at some... a little more positive examples here. And I trust this will make the positive influence here. Chapter 2 of Acts. Chapter 2, verse 1. Let's start with 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I'm going to make a side point here. I don't want to get off on this, but I know everybody thinks the house is the upper room. I believe it cannot be, in light of the whole context of what happens here, where these guys get born again, speak in tongues, everybody from all these nations around the world hear this. How could they hear it if they were in this upper room? They were in the house of the Lord. And that's where God wanted them there, the hour of prayer. And they said, how do these guys speak? They said they're drunk. But they said, how could that be? It's the ninth hour of prayer. Where are you at the ninth hour of prayer? In the temple. Okay, side note, done. Because I see that so much. All right, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and that sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. They were filled, pletho, with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what happened there? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit? So what happens? What's going on? I don't know. What happened to show that they were filled with the Holy Spirit? They spoke in tongues and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were letting it go. Letting it go. In the early church, people just spoke in tongues right away. They got born again, spoke in tongues. They're using the Spirit of God. This is what God chose. Of all the things God could have chosen to introduce the new birth Christianity, He chose speaking in tongues. Why isn't speaking in tongues magnified as the great manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the Christian world?
The devil don't want it.
He don't want it. And the devil's acting on it. He's full of wrath and he's acting on it. So what should we be? Full of love and speaking in tongues much. We heard the testimony of Paul, right? Did he speak in tongues? He wanted everybody to speak in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Forbid not to speak in tongues. My lovely assistant showed you the lab of filled overflowing, how it works. So let's look at another verse. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. See a pattern here of using that gift of Holy Spirit. 4:1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. How do you get born again of God's Spirit? Confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart. Boy, the devil doesn't like this. So he's influencing people. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. It was sunset. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of them, of the men, were about how many? 5,000. Wow. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Boy, everybody and their mother was there of the church leaders. Wow. This is a big deal here. And when they had set them in the midst, they set these guys in the midst. Peter and some of the other folks, they sent them in the mix. And they asked a question, by what power, by what name have you done this? So Peter said, I don't know. You know, I got to get out of jail. I can't stand this jail food. It's not very good. No. What did they do? Then Peter, Plato, filled to overflowing with what?
Holy Spirit.
Said unto them, you rulers and the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, that's where they walked by. Remember they were walking to church and there was a guy, lame guy. And he got delivered, right? And this was the start of all this that was going on. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, boy, I wouldn't want to get these guys upset anymore. I'm in jail already. I don't want to say too drastic of a thing about them. But Peter was filled to overflowing. He let it out. Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you? Whole. Wow. This is the name which was set at naught or set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a story, huh? And it's using that Holy Spirit. They were using the Holy Spirit. They were filled, overflowing. Wow. Two more. I won't bore you too much. Chapter 9. Got to make the point. These are great stories too, huh?
Yeah.
So, 9:17. Acts 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him. What is this story about? Background? Paul delivering from blindness, right? He's on the road to Damascus to beat up on some Christians. Boy, he gets a revelation. Jesus Christ is there. Boom. You know, he's blind. And he tells Ananias, this regular old believer in Damascus, go see Paul. And was Ananias excited about this job? No way. I don't want to go there. That guy's killing folks. But he did. He did. And so he, putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul." Woo, how could he call him brother? He called him brother. Yeah, God told him to say that. He must have been, Paul must have believed by that time to be a brother, you know, in Christ. "Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit," Holy Ghost. The word "fill" is overflowing. And I think God didn't want Paul just to be filled and nice little Christian and not do much. He wanted Paul to be doing stuff, right? Did Paul do some stuff? You heard the testimony, right? He did great stuff. And he's communicating that we too, as born again ones, should use the Spirit of God in our life. Yeah. Okay, final one, Acts 13. Acts 13. Verse 9. "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit," filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, "set his eyes on him." And there was this sorcerer, if we read the context here, this sorcerer that was messing people's lives up. And Paul got excited a little bit, and because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, it indicates that he used the Spirit of God. Now, what do you think he used? What manifestations did he use of the Holy Spirit to deal with this situation? Yeah, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, how to deal with this thing, discerning of spirits for sure. And he boldly acted. He set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the ways, the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee." And what happened? He got blind. So, and Paul moved on. He moved on. And as we've seen here this morning, what do we need to do with this Holy Spirit that we got? Let's use it. Let's just speak in tongues much. Let's just make a pact with God. "Father, I'm going to use the Spirit a little bit more than I have in the past. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more." And for those who are listening on the recorded version of this teaching, my hands are not 1 inch between each other. They're like as big as can be. That's a little bit more we want to be. Okay? So, it's as simple as the testimony you've heard, the laboratory experiment, and the reference in God's Word. We are filled with Holy Spirit, and God wants us to use that Spirit to praise Him, to pray to Him, to walk with Him like the old Apostle Paul did. We can do it. God's got some fantastic things for us to do in our time before Christ comes back. So let's get excited about talking with Him and seeing what He has in store for us tomorrow, the next day, until Christ comes back. All right?
Amen.
All right.